In today's show, we'll be breaking down the latest Bitcoin technical analysis, as we're currently correcting him in the red, as well as SEC's Gary Gensler gets irked being asked about crypto, Mr. No Claire Gare. We'll also be discussing Robinhood preparing to fight the SEC in court over crypto, according to these latest revealings I'll be breaking down for you, as well as breaking news. Argentine state-owned company will begin mining Bitcoin with stranded gas. That's what's up. Also, Sasha Kohana International Group adds $1 billion in Bitcoin ETFs to the portfolio. We'll also be discussing Fundstrat's Thomas Lee doubles down big on his Bitcoin prediction. In fact, he says his base case for this cycle is $150,000. I'll be breaking this down for you. We'll also be taking a look at the overall crypto market. All this, plus so much more in today's show. Yo, what's good, crypto fam? This is first and foremost a video show. So if you want the full premium experience with video, visit my YouTube channel at cryptonewsalerts.net. Again, that's cryptonewsalerts.net. Welcome, crypto fam.
They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
Today is pod episode number 1633. It's May 8th, 2024. I'm your host, JV. And as you can see on that price action, Bitcoin is currently correcting on the day. So let's kick it off with our market watch and shout out to the entire fam. You can see Bitcoin down 2.5%, maintaining above 61,500. I feel the major psychological support is going to be at 60, so I hope we maintain, and I know 58 is another line in the sand. If we break below 58, we have the potential to hit the low 50s, but I feel if 58 and or 60 can hold strong, we'll be fine and we'll be recovered by tomorrow. So let's soon see. We also have Ether down 2.5%, trading back under 3,000. Solana and AVAX in the blood red, while Cardano and Jennifer's Tron is pumping and in the green. And checking out coinmarketcap.com, we're sitting on a 2.3 trillion market cap with roughly 64 billion worth of volume for the past 24 hours. Bitcoin dominance 53.6%, with the Ether dominance at 15.7%. And checking out the top 100 crypto gainers for the past 24 hours, we have Rune up 7%, Kaz up almost 4%, and Monero up 2.5%. Below that, not much of anything, as the majority of the market's correcting, unfortunately. And in the red, or fortunately, if you're stacking them sats and taking advantage of these dips. You know what I mean? BTFD alert. And checking out the crypto bubbles, let's start with the daily visual. You can see virtually everything in the red and correcting, and zooming out on the month, Rex City. That's the price you pay when you're altcoining, family, but it is what it is. And checking out the crypto greed and fear index, we're currently rated a 64 greed. Yesterday, 68. Last week, the lowest we've been in a while, a 54 neutral. And last month, a 76 in extreme greed. We keep an eye on this metric because the higher this goes in extreme greed, the more likely of another correction. Yeah, let's continue with this conversation, but I'm going to get right into our next story just so we can get the show moving along. Here's the latest Bitcoin TA headline reads, Bitcoin price clings to 62 Gs. Baby, as Bitcoin bulls suffer the post-halving boredom. Haven't heard that one, but that's a good one. And speaking of 60 Gs.
60 Gs, baby!
Thank you, Connor. Anyways, as you can see here on the 1 hour chart, Bitcoin eyed a test range lows May 8th as analysis complained a post-halving boredom. That's right. TradingView showed Bitcoin price momentum heading to 62,000 during the Asia trading session. Bitcoin managed a rebound beyond 65.5 a few days prior, and its subsequent 5% retracement left Bitcoin firmly in a range in place since before the start of the weekend. And also, the daily close was 62,300, which left Bitcoin increasingly at risk of giving back more of its recent gains, which is precisely what we witnessed today. And quoting crypto quant analysts, any daily close below 62.1 or a prolonged inactivity counts as a stop loss. And we also have Mikhail Van de Pop, who expressed the following: Bitcoin slowly proceeds towards the lower boundaries of the range for the test of support. After that, it seems likely we'll continue the upwards grind. Boredom has started since the Bitcoin halving has taken place.
They're not like us. They're not like us. They're not like us.
Yeah, I'm referring to the Bears. Just saying. Quoting crypto analyst Mustache, the last dips before Bitcoin starts the next leg, in my opinion. It has never been any different. If you look at the history, we're in 2017 or 2020. Great question. Deja vu, fam. Now, the upheaval in the crypto exchange traded fund sector produced mixed impressions of the current outlook. Grayscale, one of the operators of the new Bitcoin spot ETF, pulled plans for any Ethereum futures ETF products. That means we're not getting any approval, more than likely anytime soon, for the Ether ETFs, which means Mr. Gensler is probably not going to give the green light. The US-based Bitcoin ETF saw another day of the net outflows on May 7th, which showed passing $500 million of inflows. And we also have data sources showing that Farside confirmed the outflows to be $15.7 million. And also quoting trader, TA Trader Allen, Bitcoin halving to halving increment. Check this out. From 2012 to 2016, 5,000% gains. From 2016 to 2020, the next epoch cycle, 2,000% gains. From 2020 to 2024, 800% gains. And the estimated gains from 2024 to 2028 are going to be 300% plus, which would take us greater than $200,000 per coin. Are you ready? He also says accumulate your Bitcoin and forget and come back 4 years later. Capiche? Capiche, big dog. And I mean, the chart don't lie. 5,000 first cycle post-halving rally, 2,000% second post-halving rally, 800% third post-halving rally, and estimated to be 300% for the fourth post-halving rally. However, who knows? We could get a rally as significant as the third or the second. I don't anticipate another 5,000% rally, but I say we could see that of what we witnessed the previous two halvings if we get that deja vu moment. You just never know, family. Next story, we're going to discuss Gensler getting irked. Well, I'll tell you this, Gensler.
They not like us. They not like us.
The SEC.
They not like us.
Perma bears.
They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
Trolls.
They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
Haters.
They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
Ish coiners.
They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
Having too much fun with that track. But anyways, yeah, SEC's Gary Gensler gets irked being asked about crypto. It's a funny word. Oh no, did he get irked? Good. Look at that photo of him being irked.
They not like us. They not like us.
The chair, no hair gear, appears to be getting fed up with answering questions about crypto, recently commenting he receives an outsized ratio of questions about it compared to traditional finance. Quoting him here, crypto is a small piece of our overall markets, he said, responding to a question. Gensler compared the $110 trillion market cap, or the market the SEC oversees, with the $2.4 trillion crypto market, claiming much of the latter doesn't even comply with the U.S. security laws. So it has an outsized piece of the scams and frauds and problems in our markets, quoting them here. And so thus you end up with like an outsized ratio of journalist questions and crypto journalists to market cap. Now, Andrew Ross Sorkin asked if the media's crypto questions are because that's where the SEC's attention seems to be focused, to which Gensler quickly rebutted, it's a function of where your attention is, quoting the chairman here from that interview. Crypto is just a small piece of our overall markets, but it's an outsized piece of the scams and frauds and problems in our markets. Now, he also said, think about it. I have been on your show, a dozen times, and every show you asked about crypto, said the SEC chairman. My guessing is this will be a majority crypto interview, while the capital markets are $110 trillion. So it is also where the financial media is focused. So ironically, he's trying to tell us, don't ask me anything regarding crypto when we're overseeing a $110 trillion market, because you don't want to talk about crypto. You don't want to give any clarity. Obviously, Gensler then evaded back-to-back questions. I'm not surprised. The first on the SEC's well-noticed Robinhood, which alleged its crypto listings and custody services violated security laws, saying he can't speak to any one company. He claimed investors weren't getting the required or needed disclosures about crypto and that many of those tokens are securities under the law of the land as interpreted by the Supreme Court. Now, Coinbase's legal chief officer locked in a legal fight with the SEC and told Gensler to please stop misleading the market. Tokens are not securities, and their pleadings, notwithstanding your own attorneys, have admitted this in court, he shared. Gensler also dodged answering if Ether was a security or not, and if the SEC would approve a related ETF, only saying that those filings will take up the appropriate time by the five SEC commissioners. So yeah, no Claire Gare doing what he does best, providing zero clarity to the crypto investors in the market. Gensler also defended against House Financial Services Chair Patrick McHenry's allegation that has misled Congress when he refused to answer questions on the SEC's classification of ETH, quoting him here. We don't speak about whether we have an investigation, he said. We don't speak about whether somebody is, in our opinion, not following the law unless we actually bring a case. McHenry claimed Gensler's answer refusals were an intentional attempt to misrepresent the SEC position and citing a consensus April lawsuit against the SEC that alleged the regulator planned to regulate ETH as a security. Gensler argued that he tells Congress accurately what we're doing. Quoting him again, we stay quiet on many questions that you might ask at this live interview or even in a congressional hearing. Obviously, Gary, you don't answer anything. The SEC filed six crypto-related lawsuits already this year. It brought 46 enforcement actions against crypto firms last year and a 10-year high and over double the number in 2021. And at least a dozen court cases launched by the SEC are still working their way through the U.S. courts, with many defendants pinned on allegations they sold unregistered securities and operated illegally. So that's Gary Gensler for you. I'll tell you one thing.
They not like us. They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
Amen. Precisely, Kendrick. Anyways, next story of the day, big news with Robinhood, in which Gensler didn't want to address, obviously, in that interview. Robinhood prepares to fight the SEC in court over crypto. Here's the latest developments. Retail trading platform Robinhood Markets revealed Monday that it received a Wells notice from the U.S. SEC in regards to its crypto biz. This indicates that the securities regulators is planning to bring enforcement action against the company. Their CEO took to X to share his thoughts and plan following the notice, quoting him here. Over the last 3 years, we have reached a state of regulatory onslaught that is harmful to the American companies and consumers. The SEC's continued attack on crypto, coupled with the recent rule proposals, like the one related to predictive data analytics, marks yet another improper attempt by the administrative state to stifle innovation, according to the executive. He also said, while we strive to maintain positive and productive relationships with our regulators, if necessary, we will use our resources to contest this matter in the courts with the intent of both defending our crypto business and establishing regulatory clarity in the U.S. for the benefit of our customers. The SEC has taken an enforcement-centric approach, as we all know, to the crypto industry, contending the majority of crypto tokens are securities and must adhere to its regulations. Meanwhile, crypto firms have accused the regulator of exceeding its authority, quoting the Dan Gallagher of Robinhood. We firmly believe that the assets listed on our platform are not securities, and we are looking forward to engaging with the SEC to make clear just how weak any case against Robinhood could be. And that's according to their corporate affairs officer over at Robinhood. In recent legal actions, as we know, the SEC filed many lawsuits against multiple crypto firms, including Coinbase, and they just go on. And responding to the post, we had the Coinbase CEO, Brian Armstrong, who expressed the following. The courts will help get clarity, but the right solution longer term is we need to elect pro-crypto candidates. Amen to that. That's going to be very difficult, especially in the United States, where they're anti-crypto as far as the government is concerned, just saying Bitcoin separates the money from the state. So yeah, here's the big breaking news out of Argentina. Shout out to the Argentine fam. I know we got some Argentines here. Argentine state-owned company will begin mining Bitcoin with stranded gas. Yeah. Genesis Digital Assets Limited, we're going to refer to as GDA, a leading force in the global Bitcoin mining sector, partnered with YPF Luz, a subsidiary of Argentine state-owned emergency company YPF. Together, both partners established a new Bitcoin mining facility, which capitalizes on an innovative energy resource, which is stranded gas from the oil fields. That's right. This facility, situated in Rincon. Oh, interesting. There's a city in Puerto Rico, I visited a few weeks back on a vacay, which is a beach town on the west side of the island called Rincón. But anyways, this is Rincón in Argentina, Rincón de las Sauces, in the province of Neuquén, is designed to transform what otherwise would be waste into a powerful energy source. From high-intensity computing processes associated with the Bitcoin mining, the facility operates with a total power capacity of 7 megawatts, supported by an additional 1 megawatt of backup power, housing 1,200 Bitcoin mining machines. Not too shabby. It is powered by the Bajo del Toro Thermal Power Plant, collaboratively managed by the YPF, Norwegian energy giant, Equinor, and YPF Luz. That's what's up. They already got 1,200 Bitcoin mining machines. The energy for this mining operation comes from stranded gas, natural gas that is liberated during oil extraction, but not captured for sale or distribution, typically because it is not economically viable to transport it from remote or marginally productive fields. Now, stranded gas usually poses a disposal problem, often being flared into the atmosphere, contributing significantly to the greenhouse gas emissions. The new facility's approach not only prevents this environmental harm, but also uses the gas to generate electricity. Say win-win, effectively making productive use of the previously wasted resource. Very smart. And according to the recent studies, including a working paper from MIT, the repurposing of methane through techniques like those employed by GDA can reduce carbon dioxide equivalent CO2e emissions by between 25 to 63%. This is critical because methane is a potent greenhouse gas responsible for about a third of the current global warming, and so they say. I digress. Now, the executive president and founder of GDA emphasized the project's environmental and operational advantages in the statement, quoting him here, "The opening of our first data center in South America is an important step in our geographic diversification efforts. This will yet buy another opportunity to show the world that Bitcoin mining can have a positive effect on the environment and can be fully integrated into the local communities." Now, here's the strategic implications for Argentina and beyond. Argentina presents a unique landscape for such endeavors due to its substantial energy resources, favorable political climate, and a strong crypto ethos amongst the population. The country has been experiencing high inflation rates, unfortunately, which has increased the local populace's reliance on crypto as a hedge against the economic instability. Now, the CEO of YPF also noted the project's strategic fit with Argentina's energy policies, quoting him here, "This project with GDA allows us to bring YPF and Equinor, two companies committed to reducing the carbon footprint, to their exploration activities and adaptable and sustainable flare gas use solution. The project also marks a significant point of expansion for GDA, which operates 20 industrial-scale data centers across North America, South America, Europe, and Central Asia, further cementing its position as a major player in the Bitcoin mining industry. They currently have a total power capacity exceeding 500 megawatts globally and continue to drive innovation in the integration of renewable and waste-derived energy sources into the Bitcoin mining sector." So respect. I think it's a beautiful thing. Like I said, a win-win. When you're using something that could be harmful for the environment and somehow using alchemy, right, to mine some Bitcoin with it. Win-win. Everyone's a winner. Susquehanna International Group added $1 billion worth of Bitcoin ETFs to their portfolio, yo. That's right. According to their 13F HR filing yesterday, May 7th, quantitative trading firm Susquehanna International Group purchased more than $1 billion worth of shares of Bitcoin ETFs. In the first quarter of this year, the firm disclosed that the SEC ownership of 17 million shares of the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust with a market value of roughly $1 billion as of March 31st, 2024, and additionally reported owning 1.3 million shares of the Fidelity Wise Bitcoin Origin Fund, valued at roughly $84 million on that same date. Moreover, the firm increased its stake in the ProShares Bitcoin Strategy ETF, which gives investor exposure to Bitcoin future contracts. And according to investment research firm Fintel, they owned almost 8 million shares of BITO as of March 31st, valued at roughly $250 million, up 57% from the February filing that listed 5 million shares. And a quick shout out to Lock Sky, I greatly appreciate you gifting 5 memberships of the channel to the following fam, including Molly, Facundo, Worky, Seedless, Kevin Smith. You've all been blessed and hooked up with the MicroStrategy membership of the channel on behalf of Lock Sky. So show Lock Sky some love in the comments. And again, thank you, Lock. That's very kind of you. The company had indirect exposure to the Bitcoin spot price through MicroStrategy, which currently holds 214,000 plus biddies on its balance sheet. However, they reduced its stake in MicroStrategy by nearly 15% during this portfolio rebalancing, from 287,000 shares in February to almost 245,000 shares on March 31st. So overall, their crypto allocation represents a tiny fraction of the trading firm's portfolio, which ended the first quarter value at more than $575 billion. Good Lord. And amongst the company's top investments are NVIDIA, go figure, and the index tied SPDR, S&P 500 ETF Trust. And in addition to the Bitcoin funds, their new holdings for the past quarter include shares of the convertible bonds from Convertible Zero, bonds from NRG Energy, and preferred stocks in Able Marley Corporation. Now, the Bitcoin funds are increasingly being used by trading firms and financial advisors to gain exposure to digital assets. In April, Fidelity's Bitcoin ETF secured $40 million from two traditional financial advisors, Legacy Wealth Management and United Capital Management over at Kansas. Each fund invested $20 million into FBTC, joining the fund's top shareholders. The advisors are popular amongst a significant population of baby boomers who are a sizable share of the country's wealth. We also have Legacy Wealth Management managing assets exceeding $359 million, while United Capital Management of Kansas oversees more than $436 million in assets. So there you have it, yo. Another one bites the dust. Another billy added to the portfolio worth the Bitcoin ETFs just in the first quarter of this year. Let's freaking go. Now for our feature story of the day. According to Fundstrat's Tom Lee, Bitcoin base case for this cycle is $150,000. So let's break this baby down. Headline reads, Fundstrat's Tom Lee doubles down on a big Bitcoin prediction, says the risk reward for the stock market still pretty good. That's right. The chief executive of the market insights platform, Fundstrat, is reiterating that Bitcoin will post massive gains this year, despite its choppy price action for the past 6 weeks. In the new interview on CNBC, Tom Lee says Bitcoin's bull cycle is far from over. Amen to that. According to Lee, Bitcoin and other asset classes have not yet agreed that the Fed is shifting to a looser monetary policy. Quoting him here, Bitcoin is still very early in the Bitcoin is still early in an up cycle. So the idea that it can get to 150,000 this year is still within our base case. Even better, he's calling for 150,000 this year as a base case. Now, I think it does help that the Fed is reiterating that its view on inflation and being relatively dovish is more dovish than where the market is. So I think that's the process of why the markets are recovering. Let me know if you agree or disagree with the analysts. And looking at the stock market, Lee. Now, anytime I see the word Lee, for some reason, I'm like, in my mind, I go back to like Rush Hour throwbacks. I think that was Jackie Chan's name Chris Tucker referred to him as. Correct me if I'm wrong. Lee. But anyways, sees more publicly listed companies printing solid earnings growth this quarter. Also highlights that the market conditions look bullish with trillions of dollars still waiting on the sidelines. Now, quoting him here from the interview, to us, earnings growth is accelerating. Quarter one earnings are up 7%, but three groups are down 20%. Energy, healthcare, and materials. Energy and healthcare flip to positive next quarter, so the earnings growth hits 11%. We know there is a lot of pent-up demand, capital spending is picking up, and the ISMs are turning up, and there's $6 trillion in cash on the sidelines, and people have been cautious for more than 2 years now. I think the risk-reward is still pretty good. And to watch the interview he gave on Squawk Box or CNBC here, check the show notes below the video in the description. And let me know if you agree. Do you think with Bitcoin, the risk reward right now of where we're at in the market, considering we just had a halving of 2024 2 weeks ago, roughly on 420, happy 420, do you think the risk reward is still pretty good? And I'll chime in there. I think it's fantastic because the risk, what's the risk right now? How low can Bitcoin potentially go from here? Nobody knows, but according to history, this is the most bullish time of the four-year cyclical cycle. So we're more likely to pump than we are to dump if we can visualize moving into the future. You know what I mean? Which is the only direction time takes us. So thinking about that, I think it's a definite no-brainer risk-reward ratio. I think the risk at this point, I don't even see Bitcoin ever going back down under 50,000. Right now, we're at 61,000. That's the risk, right? In my humble opinion, not investment advice. But on the flip side of that coin, pun intended, the reward, we can go up 300% as predicted earlier on in the show. We can go up multiple hundreds of percent as Tom Lee is predicting in his base case for this year in 2024. So if your risk is what, 20, 30% or less of a correction and your reward is multiple 100%, no brainer. Where else are you going to park your capital? You know what I mean? HODL, be thy name. And at the end of the day,
they not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
Precisely. They're not like us. So you already know, bullish time of the season. Very, very interesting times amongst us. We're on the cusp of a revolution, which has been happening, but it's accelerating, right? Faster than ever as fiat currency continues to be devalued. Right. And that's why you see these crazy Bitcoin prices. And Bitcoin will continue to increase in purchasing power. There's the scarcity of the halving. There's the scarcity just built into the protocol, being there's a finite limited supply. And now we have the game theory from the major asset managers via the ETFs, the nation states, the empires, the sovereign wealth funds. And they say there's 2,500 billionaires on the planet. Well, that's not really a lot of Bitcoin to go around for those billionaires, is there, right? How many companies are on the planet? I'm going to assume millions. How many companies can pull a Mike Saylor? Not many. Mike Saylor has 1% of the Bitcoin circulating supply. Hypothetically means only 100 companies max if nobody else owned any Bitcoin on the planet, including retail, wanted to get a position like they have. How many other companies or asset managers are going to be able to stack 300,000 Bitcoin like BlackRock just did in the past 4 months? Not many. There's only a handful because we're going to run out of the biddies. There's going to be a supply shock. Price goes up. You know what I mean? That's just the nature of the beast. The Bitcoin beast, if you know what I mean. Meanwhile,
they not like us. They not like us. They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
So what do we do to the haters and everyone saying Bitcoin is a Ponzi and it's going to zero? This is what we do.
That fuck 'em up. I'ma do my stuff. Why you trolling like a bitch? Ain't you tired?
Peter Schiff.
Trying to strike a chord and it's probably A minor. They not like us. 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 They not like us.
Warren Buffett.
They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
Bill Gates.
They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
Facts. These wealthy entities out there making Saylor look like a shrimp. One of these. Precisely. Like for real though. There's so much wealth on the planet. Gensler was just talking about they have, you know, jurisdiction over, what do you say, $100+ trillion of the market, ignoring all the crypto questions. Ask me about these other markets. Collectively, there's probably over $900 trillion worth of wealth on the planet, maybe even more. And considering crypto collectively is less than a $3 trillion market cap, Bitcoin's like a $1.2 trillion market cap. It just shows so much room for growth and how early we truly are. And quoting Mike Saylor from yesterday's episode, he said, the reason most people don't get Bitcoin yet is the reason it's going to 100x. If we go to 100x, we're talking 6 million plus per bitty. Per bitty. Let that sink in, yo. Laugh at them, but leave them a big tip. Are we sure they not like us? No, I'm facts. They not like us. Haters are completely irrelevant to us. Exactly. Because when it comes to haters,
they not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
Ish coiners.
They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
No coiners.
They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
Fiat lovers.
They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
Facts. With my rattling feathers, we rattled together. The battle's forever. Would you like fries with that? Precisely. The haters are completely irrelevant to us. Tell them exposed, Sean. Cheers to that. F the haters. We replace the haters with regulators. Mona. I got to sample that one next. That was one of my favorite tracks as a kid. Regulators. Agreed, JV. Be feeling it. Thank you, Kevin. Money has always been about the question, who works for whom? And with Bitcoin, the game will be reset on the global. The global reset is amongst us. In the eyes of the government, the global reset is the CBDCs in a cashless society. Now, the global reset to the Bitcoiners is Bitcoin becoming a world reserve currency and hyper-Bitcoinization. Want to know why?
They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
Politicians.
They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
Suits such as Jim Cramer.
They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
These other podcast
they
hosts.
They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
These other crypto shows.
Wop, 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 wop. That fuck them up. Wop, 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 wop. I'ma do my stuff.
Never gets old. And don't forget to check out CryptoNewsAlerts.net for the full premium experience with video and to participate in our live Q&A. And I look forward to seeing you on tomorrow's episode. HODL.